So my favourite scripture that I had to pick, which took me ages to pick because I don't really have a favourite scripture. So I settled on James 4, verse 17, which was, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin." And to me that's just sort of like sums up pretty much what it's like to walk in the Lord in general. Just be a good person and you're pretty much doing everything right. Start with, like, I sort of found if you need to sort of convince yourself that you're doing the right thing, you're usually not doing the right thing, because you're starting off by having to convince yourself of it and you've already lost that fight. So yeah, it's pretty much just, if you ever have to question if it's the right thing to do, it usually isn't. And then if in doubt, ask someone else and they'll immediately tell you that's not the right thing to do. So just, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." So if you know you're not doing the right thing, don't do it. If you've already done it, don't do it again. Yeah. That's pretty much that sin, that scripture for me. That's my favourite scripture. Yeah.
We got next, Blake.
I had a bit of think of my favourite scripture. Started with Jesus wept because the two words, moved on to, right, let's work with three because that's a bit hard to talk about. So I ended up with a 1 Thessalonians 5:17. You probably don't need to look it up because it just says, "Pray without ceasing." So three words seemed like a good start. Anyway, I ended up ballooning because I was thinking about, you know, through my young life, growing up in the Lord, I'd always hear this, "Pray without ceasing," and it was one of those things that didn't work in my head. You know, I'm a guy that thinks in very straight equations. I'm doing a lot of stuff during the day, and I couldn't understand how I could also pray without ceasing. And yeah, there's all these choruses that you know, "Make my life a prayer to you," and you know, "Pray without ceasing," that verse of that that hymn. And you know, after a while, I've spent a lot of time sort of thinking on that, in my young life especially, and came to the conclusion that it's, you know, it's more a direct thing of have faith without ceasing. And the way I've come to that is, you know, when you get down and you need faith to receive blessings, you need faith to receive healings, you need faith in general, and it's always, you know, faith is the size of a grain of mustard seed that can move mountains, that can do amazing things. But once again, you know, where do you go with how much faith is in that? You know, is that a metric mustard seed, imperial mustard seed? You know, I sort of came down to the base level of faith. You know, the thing that we've all got, we can all get down on our knees and pray in the Spirit. And that's nothing more, nothing less than absolute faith. And it's very easy for us to do because it just happens when we open our mouth and talk to God. So, yeah, and that expands into things like, you know, I always get stuck seeking God when I need the big things. You know, something big happens, oh, I need to pray about that, great. And that's cool, I'm happy with that. But there's obviously more to go. You know, there's you need to exercise that faith, you need to build that faith. You know, my metric mustard seed, I'm not sure which was bigger, metric or imperial mustard seeds, but obviously, you know, some prayer, some requirements that you may have throughout your life, they're going to be like your mountain. And the faith, you can't just jump in and just start believing instantly that you can move a mountain. You need to build up to it. You need to practice your faith. You know, and it's those little things throughout life. Every day you go about everything throughout the day, you know. The frivolous examples You know, you might pray for a cat, pray for a dog, pray for a washing machine, pray for a parking spot. All these things are the spiritual example of having faith in the chair that you're about to sit on doesn't snap underneath you. You know, is Jesus did kind of some frivolous things with, you know, the power that was given him. You know, did they really need extra wine at the wedding? Probably not. You know, the other day we were sitting down having some fellowship, and someone mentioned something about Coke. And we're like, yeah, I could really go a Coke, but not once did we think of, let's have some prayer and see if we can turn this water into Coke. But, you know, it's not out of the question. And I guess out of all of this, I'm sort of getting that, you know, in general, throughout life, if something comes up, you know, curse the fig tree, not the ones we just planted. You know, look in a fish's mouth for tax money. Do those frivolous things and, you know, give your testimony to testify about it, because it's those little things that build up to the mountains. You know, God isn't around for just the big things. He's around for everything. So ask him for everything.
Second man from the Fourth Avenue, please.
There's less of you, which is good. All right, I'll do a little icebreaker. Hands up if you've ever received a scam phone call before from like a call center. Excellent. Right, I'm going to give you a little story of our scam phone call that happened only but 2 days ago. We were talking around over at our van, a couple of us, about these scam phone calls and how you get them. And where I work at the Armidale Police Station, we often get scam calls to the station. And these people will ring up and they'll ring one extension number at this desk, and we'll then politely tell them they've rung a police station, and they'll very quickly hang up. And then they'll ring the next extension, which is the next desk over. And we'll tell them again, and it'll sort of go around the entire station and until they've realised that they've got the same number. And they keep ringing police. State police don't deal with scam phone calls, by the way. That's federal police and all the rest. But besides that, we were talking about this, and just as we'd finished talking about this conversation, or shortly after, I got a phone call on my phone. And if you know these scam phone calls, normally it's like a private number, or, you know, like an 02 number or 03 number. So you go, you know, whatever, delete, turn the phone off or whatever. I got this phone call, and it was Pastor Kevin. It's not a scam call, but he did ring us, and I answered the phone, and then he'd asked me to give this little thought today, and I was like, okay, no worries. And he gave us the instructions on, you know, how long it needed to be and all the rest, and we hung up, and then Blake's phone rang right next to me, and it was the exact same scenario we were just talking about with this scam phone call and then the next extension. In this instance, it was Pastor Kevin, though. So anyway, I've broken the ice. I'm feeling a little bit better. My favorite scripture is one about, I guess, about peace. What I do for work, obviously, as a police officer, is quite, confronting. You see a lot of stuff and you experience a lot of things. And for a lot of police who start their career, they start it quite young, like I did as well. And it's probably quite confronting for them to be seeing some of the things that they do, they see and they experience. And, you know, we're going to things like, you know, domestic violence and sudden death and, you know, some pretty horrible things. And generally, when police are involved in your life, it's at some of the worst points in your life, isn't it? And I guess the favorite scripture I have is about this peace that quite often the world doesn't have. You know, they experience all these horrible things, and they don't have an answer for that. And they don't have an ability to be able to switch off from that as well. So what I'll get you all to do is turn to Psalm 4, verse 7. So a lot of this psalm, it's a very short one, but a lot of this psalm is all about, I guess, some of the... Well, it does show that very clear distinction between that the world has nothing to offer, or that they don't have an answer to their problems, And it's kind of questioning or challenging the Lord to provide the answer to that problem. And in verse 7, we'll just pick up there, it says, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time than their corn and their wine increased. And I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." And, you know, typically my day at work will involve a number of different things, and we'll be doing up to sort of 20 different jobs in a 10-hour shift. And, you know, of those 20 jobs, it might be, I don't know, maybe 8 to 12 of them will be quite confronting jobs. So often, you know, I'll come home and I'll be a bit drained from that, and physically drained and mentally drained as well. And sort of what I'll generally do is get to my front door, and before I go in to see the kids and the wife and all the rest, is just take a big deep breath, breathe in, hold it for a little while, breathe out, and then start the next part of my day, which is kids to bed and dinners and all the rest, and assisting Nicole, who does a wonderful job while I'm at work. That's kind of like my little moment to just be able to take everything that I've done in that day and set it aside. That's probably one of very few answers that the world would have to be able to deal with things like that. You know, what do they turn to when they experience these sort of horrible things? It's some sort of medication or drug. You know, psychologists and these sort of worldly type answers, they don't have what we have. They don't have that solution, which is the Word of God. So I guess this is kind of, for me, as my favorite scripture, this is my mantra. You know, you look back at this and you can go, okay, no matter what I've experienced today, I can close my eyes and go to bed knowing that the Lord has me and He's protected me and He's kept me safe for not only the day, but for the night as well. And that's kind of my block of time. That's been my chunk of protection. The Lord's just covered me for that day and I'm ready to go for the next one. And I guess it's from that perspective that I look at it as like that net of safety, but also it's that idea of I need to make sure that when I go to my next day, that I'm doing everything in my power to make sure that I'm pointing everything towards God and that I'm putting everything towards Him. So I'm sort of building up this, I guess, this bank or this ability for the Lord to be able to go, yep, no worries, I got you covered today, Caleb, because, you know, you're looking for me for that help and you're not looking elsewhere. So, yeah, I'll leave it at that. About peace.
Yeah, Jesus said that my peace I leave you, not as the world give it. But yes, let's have a look at some of my favorites. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. That's my long-time favorite. It also fits into the theme of the camp. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Where it says that looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of throne of God. If I wanna squeeze the Bible into one verse, it probably is this one. And so, because we know that how Jesus was wanted us to move forward, Jesus wanted us to come to him and then take the path that he has prepared for us. And he himself knew before he came to this world, he knew what was going to happen and how he was going to achieve it. And he still was able to oversee his troubles that he was going to go through because he knew that by doing that he will get us to be with him as well. And that to me was his strength in here, like it says here in the scripture. And he suffered for us, so we can all benefit from that. That was just a favorite scripture from there. And then, of course, he gave us instructions what to do. If you turn to Matthew 28. At the end, He told us that go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I want to focus today on this teaching, how Jesus wanted us to teach others to stay with Jesus, to help each one of us be strong in the Lord. Help each one of us to make it to the end, because together we are strong. Together we will make it. If we are left by our own, it's very difficult to stay. I can tell you about that, because I had my first 4.5 years, we were just by our family staying in Stuttgart and trying to see something happening over there. But God was good to us. He provided us. He sent us the talks in a form of a DVD. There was a brother who started to record them from Adelaide. We started to get them. We went to the camps and saw some of the people came along, but then we had these long periods of time that we were just by ourselves. So we were looking for what to do. We were looking for where to go. What should we? How do we get out of that dump that we were in? And eventually, then we came here for a Christmas holiday. At the end of it, as you probably most of you know, at the end of it, I told Ritva and the kids that you stay here. And I went back by myself and resigned and came here, and didn't know what sort of dump I was entering into then, in worldly terms. Took me quite a while to get a job. It took me quite a while to establish our lives again. In a way, we didn't even have the house where to live. The kids were not able to get to school. But as Jesus said, that if you have faith, you can move mountains. And eventually I started to see the small digger on the side of that mountain. And so I've been so happy to see it been moving away and going away. But also at the same time, being part of the fellowship has helped us greatly. And there's a great verse in Genesis that I came across. I'll probably finish in there. Genesis in chapter, where was it? 33. This is from Jacob and Esau coming together again. And Esau, let me just read the story. Oh, 33 it was. And he said, that's Esau, let us take our journey and let us go, and I will go before thee. And he said to him, my lord, know with the children, Jacob. This is Jacob speaking here. And he said to him, my lord, know with the children are tender, and the flocks and the herds with the young are with me. And if men should override them, one day all flock will die. Let my lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly according to the cattle that goes before me, and children be able to endure until I come unto thee, unto my lord to see. So it's all about, you know, how we come together. We are strong together, but we support our weak, and we move forward according to each individual's ability to do that. And we others, we just support ourselves, and then that keeps us on that path and moving forward. And I just leave it there.